Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here for the Liberty Works Radio Network. Liberty does work. Liberty does work. Before I went on the break, it just occurred to me that I remembered that I'd promised to tell you a story about somebody I know who got shot in the face. Shot in the face. And as our, again, I had to plug, Ralph Carmichael just sent some CDs to me. This thing's called Strike Up the Band, and it is fabulous. I stuck this thing in today. It came in the mail. And it's Strike Up the Band. You can go find out about it at ralphcarmichael.com. And I loved it. He's not paying me to do this. He just sent it to me in the mail because he just discovered me as you know, one of his family members. We have something in common. Both of us have the father named Richard because mine was named after his. It all works out really nicely. An easy military decision for Obama. I'm going to get to a story here pretty shortly, but let's see. What about this? Yeah, speaking of Richard Carmichaels, I have this Richard Carmichael I know. He happens to be my brother. He's a big guy. I'm a little guy. If you go to faithfreedoms.org right now and you click the links, you get to the little video there that you see. You get to see what I sort of look like with this strange green-yellow glow over my head in our little studio here. But my brother is different. He looks different. You can see as I'm sitting in this office chair, it's kind of a high-backed office chair, but my shoulders don't come close to the top. The back of my head is at the top of this chair. For my brother, it wouldn't be that way. The bottom of his neck would be at the back of this chair. He's a real big guy, real big, always been a real big guy. So he was working at a Safeway store in Ocean Beach, part of San Diego. Some of you may have been there, Somebody runs out the store, had stolen something. I don't know if my brother knew what. But he started chasing after this guy. So he starts running after the guy. My brother's in good shape. He was a young guy who's surfing every day and just in good shape. So he starts running after this guy, and he's starting to catch him. And he says, "You better slow down, because if I catch you, man, you're going to be sorry." And the guy running and say, "Well, you better stop chasing me, or you're going to be sorry. You better stop running, man, or you're going to be sorry." And so they're having this little debate, and then my brother's reaching out just to the point to grab him, and he experiences what it is to look down the barrel of a .45. The guy pulls the trigger. Wham! Big, loud noise. The pressure itself took my brother off his feet. My 240-pound brother whipped back like a foosball man, hit the deck, and put his hands on his face when he realized that he was still conscious. He was in great pain. He had a lot of pain in his face. And he puts his hands on his face, and he's like, "Oh, my goodness, I can't believe I'm alive, but am I going to survive?" He felt his head was wet and stuff. Turned out it was sweat. The guy missed. Point-blank range. I mean, that was so close that the blast took my brother off his feet. And, of course, my brother survived. They found the guy later. He had, as I understand it, he was kind of messy. I mean, something had happened with his bodily functions. I think he thought he killed my brother. So later they found this van that was in the parking lot a long time. Turned out he had somehow gotten back to his van, and the police showed up, and then the van stayed there after all the investigations were going on and things like that. So my brother survived. My brother also survived I thought, wow, you know, I wonder if that was just luck or somebody's got a plan for his life. Later, I think it was 1993, my brother's driving in, he was in San Francisco on the way to a appointment. He was, rather than tell you what his job was, he was just on the way to an appointment. And he got sick to his stomach all of a sudden, and he pulled off the freeway. And then to call this guy and tell him, "Hey, I'm sick. I got to go home." Well, he gets home, and suddenly there's an earthquake. And it just turns out that the road my brother was on crushed many cars that day. Now, whether he would have been under it or not, it just seemed to happen. Had he not gotten sick, the timing of everything would have possibly put him under that bridge. So there was strike two, another one. How many lives does this cat have left? Oh, we may never know. But this is just a little anecdote. So you got to be careful. I did tell somebody a story about my following. I didn't necessarily chase. It was sort of a slow speed chase of three guys out of four that were running from what turned out to be an FBI guy. So I did an hour and a half chase, so to speak. Maybe it took about 2 hours until police nabbed these three guys that they would not have nabbed had I not done my civic duty and pulled off the highway and gone into a slow speed chase to these guys who were fleeing from the authorities. Now, who's got the chutzpah to do that? What kind of nut will do that? Not in America, folks. No, in America, it's the home of the free because it's the home of the brave. Now, how are we going to get people to do that? Somebody called the other day, was ticked off at what I said. The hat man, he might be a friend of yours. He was ticked off at what I said, and he said something very profane to me when he called on the break. And then he continued to make some insults. But I thought, you know what? Okay, I've ticked him off. I'd like to know what it is specifically about what I said that just really ticks him off. Instead of, you know, I was going to give him the opportunity to vent on the air. As long as he didn't use profanity, he could vent on the air. I even told him, hey, if you want to advertise your business or something, we'll give you a little airtime here. You can give a plug for your business. We'll encourage people to go by and give you business. And it came right up to the time to get back on the air, and he copped out. He copped out. And he was disguising his voice. He wouldn't give me his real name. Where's your courage, buddy? Come on, buddy. That is why our nation is not possibly won't pull itself out. I hope it does. I hope it pulls itself out of the free fall, but it may not. And that just occurred to me. I'm glad I said that. Because there was a thing I was watching. There was an economist, Michael Hudson, I think his name is. And he was a guy who was, I think, was a professor in a college in Latvia, I think it is. And he had some really good ideas on what should or shouldn't be done in Latvia. Latvia is in a lot of trouble right now. They're doing this thing after breaking away from the socialist Soviet Union thing that they were partnered with, is they had this thing where they started borrowing from Sweden. And then people would buy houses borrowing from banks from Sweden. And then they would borrow money and they weren't investing in their infrastructure. So basically what happened is they weren't taking any money into Latvia, yet Sweden is taking the money out. So Latvia's economy is plummeting. People are getting poorer and poorer in Latvia. And this guy's interviewing Michael Hudson and he says, hey, there's a crisis right now, Mr. Hudson. And what do you think it brought us to this Hudson or this crisis or where this is going to get us out of this crisis? And Mr. Hudson says, they're not in a crisis yet because they're not doing anything. He says, a crisis is when some problems intersect to the point where you do something about it. That's when it's a crisis, when it causes you to act. He says, right now, people are merely suffering. They're suffering the effects of their behavior. And it hasn't come to the crisis point of crisis yet because they're not doing anything about it. That's what's happening in America right now. And this is what we're trying to do here at Liberty Works Radio Network, because Liberty Works, and what we're trying to do is get people to stop and think about the foundations, the principles of ultimately, you know, they give me the freedom to say what I say. I do my constitutional basis, my biblical basis, my basis of right versus wrong. And what it is the reference, folks, get back to what is true, the plumb line. If you don't use the plumb line, your house is going to wreck. It's going to be tilted. It's going to be askew. And when the storms come, it will not stand. It's got to have a good solid foundation that is plumb. That's what it needs. So that's what we're trying to do is you're going to be hearing, you've heard some reports of hearing Imus in the morning.
Imus in the morning.
You got Imus in the morning and you got a potential of having Glenn Beck just prior to me. Isn't that going to be a weird shift? And then some guy at night says, hey, you dodo, stop calling here, you idiot. I don't want to hear. I don't want you liberal lunatic. Don't call me. So you'll have that sometime in the evening, and that'll be a lot of fun. But the goal is, besides the in-flight entertainment, because people want that, for the sake of this in-flight entertainment, somewhere in there, we've got to push reset and do our public service announcement where we are going to talk about, and I should be looking into the camera right now. I'm looking into my computer screen because it's in front of my face. Probably getting radiated with Protonoviches or something. I don't know. But we're trying to come to a place where we say, we get back to the foundation. We get back to the reference and explain why you're going to have catastrophe. There's some folks on this show who will be ranting and raving about some of the people in office as if they are the problem. They are the symptom. The current presidential elected person in office is merely the product of what they tried to make me be, but I wouldn't drink the Kool-Aid. I didn't succumb to what's been inculcated in our educational system for about 100 years now. It didn't catch. It didn't stick. You know what? I stuck in my teacher's craws in high school. Maybe there was something wrong with me. The hat man would think there's something wrong with me. It might be that there's something right with me, and it might be that narrow is the way that leads to life. Narrow and difficult is the way that leads to life. If you go thereby, and broad and easy is the way that leads to destruction. And many go thereby. That's something. Who said that? You can give me a call. Oh, by the way, our number here is 888-850-1872. Or you can remember 4 8s, 50, like in the 50 states. See how that rhymes? 4 8s in 50 states, 1 USA. 888-50-1USA. Something to think about. So, really, we do have a goal. We're going to talk about these things. I've got an article in front of me here. It says, an easy military decision for Obama. Obama asks, why do they just say Obama? Again, that is so irreverent. Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, President of the United States, asked brave troops to compete in green government contest. Yes, it was Saturday. You know how cold it's been. Y'all know how cold it's been. My wife was... We were at a football game, a high school age JV kind of football game. It was cold. We had our 7-Eleven cocoa, you know. And my wife says, where's the global warming? Where is the global warming? And this guy turns around and he's really ticked off and looking all crazed at her. She says, I want a little global warming right now. She says, what did you say? He says, I want some global warming. He says, do you realize that? And he names off when the ice cap will be melted. And he's all ticked off. Hello? Hello? What's he thinking? What are you thinking? Where's your head? Where's your head? I can't believe you people. I can't believe you. You're not just stopping thinking. If you think about, where's paradise, folks? When you imagine paradise, when you think back and you let your mind wander and you're going to imagine paradise, is it a frozen Arctic? B, what is B? What's the alternative? When you think of paradise, it is green, isn't it? You know what greenhouse gases bring us? Green earth. Yes, temperatures that are warmer, ice caps on the Arctic Ocean that will decrease. Warming of the ocean, warming of the air, increase in evaporation, increase in snow on the continents, by the way, because there's more evaporation available. And you know what? More CO2. You know what my wife gave me today? And we're going to come back after the break and talk about this. She gave me her biology book, and I'm going to read at what happens with photosynthesis and this catalyst called chlorophyll. And you know what it needs? It needs CO2. And you know what happens when you get more CO2? Greener stuff, more oxygen in the atmosphere, a greenhouse closer to paradise. I'm voting for a global greenhouse, folks. Produce greenhouse gases, methane and CO2 are there for you. They're going to be there for your salvation to allow you, to help you to feed yourself and your grandchildren, and to protect you from the radiation of the sun with the increase of moisture in the atmosphere. We're going to come back here on this Faith and Freedom show. Our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. Talk about the issues on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, based on right versus wrong, faithfreedoms.org.